Welcome back, everyone, to the Bakery Bears radio show. My name's Dan.
And I'm Kay.
And we're delighted to return with a very special episode because it's a request.
It's a request.
Yes, yes.
That's
we
cool.
Produce every month, we produce a live video show which our subscribing patrons get to watch. And in the course of that show, someone asked us a question about books. And we love books.
Mm-hmm.
Not to sort of give away a certain amount of what we'll be talking about today, but I think it's fairly obvious we love books when you see the title is Books, No Books, Audiobooks or Digital Books.
Wow.
There's a lot to go at, isn't there?
There's a lot to go at.
So over the course of today, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about all those different types of book media. What do we like? What do we use? What do we enjoy? And it'll just be really interesting because it's not something we've ever really spoken about too much before. And we both sort of operate in the book world in a slightly different way. And I'm open to new ideas. I really am. But yeah, we'll come on to that with the audiobooks and things
because yeah.
You're a real audiobook lover. But I'm giving too much away.
You are.
We are, of course, though, going to be enjoying a lovely walk. And we welcome you to the world of grey.
The world of grey. It's been grey and overcast and quite cold
and
for like weeks.
And just when you think...
and rainy, it's always raining.
Just when you think it's going to dry up a bit. No. It's raining again.
We're desperate to get out in the garden, aren't we? You want to cut the lawn and we want to just do a bit of tidying up, but it just keeps raining. So it's a bit of a devil cutting the lawn if it doesn't stop raining.
Impossible.
Mm.
Anyway, so we shall get out for our walk and we'll
yes.
delve into
Let's
our
go.
Favourite subject. Really, I just love them. Yes, it's all about the books. We do love the books.
Yeah. But the children love the books.
They must be going on holiday.
Who?
Look, there's a caravan with a... With a car.
Well, that's very interesting, don't you? Should we go and ask them?
But no, it just
those
reminds me...
Those random people are going on holiday.
It reminds me of when I was young.
It's a big caravan.
We didn't have a caravan that big, but we had a caravan and I just remember...
You
know, getting it hitched up, pulling it up outside, getting it all loaded up, and then off you'd go.
I can't think of anything worse.
Oh, it is. It's horrendous. But when you're, like, 14...
Yeah.
Oh, no, younger than that. Oh... Can't really remember. I'll be honest, I much preferred the trailer tent. You did you do any camping when you were young?
Oh, get on, man.
Okay, right. Well, I don't think you would have enjoyed that anyway. But the trailer tent was always much more fun. But yeah, it'll be because it's Easter, isn't it? So, books then.
Books,
my goodness.
Then.
It's an interesting subject because there's so many different ways you can get involved with them now. And it's an interesting one because I've sort of dabbled with digital books and
yeah.
I've also, I mean, obviously real books, but the one thing I've never really got into, which I know you really like, is audio books.
Yeah. I think that's mainly because when you're like out running every day, you prefer music, don't you? Because that sort of motivates you, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think that I would find it hard to listen to someone talking while I was running.
While you were running, yeah.
It would just
You do have
seem...
to concentrate, and I think you're right, when you're running, you're not really... I don't think it's as easy necessarily to concentrate.
I'd be interested, actually, to know if there's anyone out there...
Who runs and listens to books.
Yeah,
it would be interesting. Yeah, but, I mean, I've listened to books since I started properly walking every day, which is, gosh... Over 3 years, I think, now that I've been walking every day. And it just, when I first started walking, I kind of was bored just because I was by myself and I was just walking. And, yeah, I mean, it's nice to listen to nature, but we live in a fairly urban area and it's quite trafficy and generally people-y. And then once I get in the park, that's nice. But, you know, by blocking out that noise, actually, it was nice. And so I just started listening to books and I absolutely love it now. Every day I'm listening to something.
The point you've just made there is an interesting one, because I've heard different people say different things about when you're out walking or running in nature. Because I've heard some people... I mean, I suppose it would depend on where you were at, but I don't know necessarily if that's completely right now. Because one of the things that I really enjoy, like you, you're out walking. If you hear like a car like that going by, or if you hear like a loud conversation with someone talking, for me it takes you away from...
It irritates me and
Well, it takes you away from the focus on the nature and the being out in the...
Because, you know, walking along sort of urban streets, you can't really hear nature, can you?
Definitely not. But equally, you could be walking through the park.
And you could.
There could be some noisy barking dog.
Absolutely.
Or there could be... And personally, I've always found that I enjoy myself a whole lot more when I'm out running, whether that be local to us here or if we've been away on holiday.
Yeah.
When we've been, you know, in the middle of nowhere, I've still always had something in my ears because I feel like my focus is more on my surroundings.
Yeah.
I know that sounds weird because I can't necessarily hear.
No.
But I feel like...
You're not distracted by...
A noise here, a noise there.
Society, I suppose, is the word, isn't it?
Yeah. So for me, that's been music, like you said, with the running.
Yeah.
For you, that's been audiobooks.
Yeah.
I mean, audiobooks, it's a really funny one because there's no reason why... Am I doing right crossing here?
Yes.
There's no reason why I wouldn't enjoy an audiobook at all. Because I listen to audio podcasts all the time.
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing the dishes and things like that, you might be able to listen to a book. But I'm just trying to think of a time when you would have the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I listen to books when I'm out walking, but then also I have to do a lot of knitting for my, as part of, you know, part of my job.
Yeah.
I have to do a lot of knitting. So I'm, you know, sat, and if I wasn't listening to something, then I'd just, you know, it can be a bit of a slog.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just find audiobooks are just brilliant for that because I can concentrate on them.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, whatever I'm knitting might require some concentration.
Yeah, yeah.
But I find I can do both. It's not a problem.
Yeah. I don't know if I've always had it in my... I think that in the right situation, I could definitely listen to an audiobook.
Yeah.
I don't know why I've always had this thing in my head where I thought, oh, I wouldn't get into it as much. But actually, if you get the right... what do you call them? The people who read the books.
Narrator.
Narrator, thank you.
Is key.
Yeah.
That is really key. And I've... You know, I've stopped listening to books because... Not because of the book.
Yeah.
Because of the narrator. Because I just can't... I don't know, I can't get past a strong accent or just, you know, the way that they intonate and things like that. It's quite a personal thing, I think.
Definitely.
Getting on with a narrator. And I do have favourites now that I really like.
Yeah.
And I listened to two books actually recently that were narrated by an American lady.
Yeah.
And it's funny, it made me realise that a lot of the books I listen to are generally English writers, and therefore they have English narrators.
Yeah.
And it never struck me before that, you know, that's the genre that I generally listen to.
Yeah.
Because I generally listen to just easygoing, you know, nothing taxing, just nice stories.
Yeah, yeah.
But these two books I listened to recently... were different, a different sort of genre.
Yeah.
They were historical fiction and they were romance as well, but much more gritty than I normally listen to. And they were written by an American lady called Imogen Martin.
Yeah.
Both set in the 1800s. And at first, when I listened to this woman's voice, I was like, oh, I don't know. Because she had quite a strong American accent.
Yeah.
And I just kind of get distracted by the accent. Not that I don't like it.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm not used to hearing that, in, you know, day to day.
Yeah.
So it distracts me and my focus gets off the story. But I actually got used to her quite quickly.
Yeah.
And she did character voices really well.
Didn't you listen to some books narrated by Cherry Jones?
Oh, yes. Little House on the Prairie books.
Right.
When Bryony was really little, we used to listen to those together at bedtime.
Right.
And they're narrated by Cherry Jones, and she's quite a famous actress.
Yeah.
And she was lovely. She was a brilliant narrator.
Right. Would you say that's probably the only other American?
I think so, yeah.
Right. Interesting.
Subsequently, though, I'm now listening to another book by an American author again, a different one.
Yeah.
And again, it's narrated by an American lady. And I really did struggle with this lady, mainly because she spoke so slowly.
Right.
I played it for you, do you remember?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I
That's
don't...
That's where we discovered the speed up button.
Yes! And I didn't even realise you could do this, but you can speed it up. So I went on to 1.2 yeah. instead of 1, which yeah. 1 is like as they speak.
Yeah.
So I went to 1.2, which just speeds it up a tiny bit. And yeah. I was like, this is brilliant.
That's good.
And then I could listen to it, not a problem. And right. I'm really enjoying the book. So
amazing.
Yeah.
That's one to remember for future.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
I mean, that sounds like I've got some amazing knowledge of audiobooks. I absolutely don't. I just knew that you could do that on podcasts, so I thought,
yeah,
I bet you can do that.
It never dawned on me I could do that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people do that generally because, I don't know, maybe their brain works quicker.
Yeah.
So they speed it up, you know, and they get through more books yeah. that way. But yeah. That's the first time I've done it.
So, I mean, I don't think there's any downside at all to an audiobook, is there? I suppose...
I don't think so. Well, I suppose... The only downside is that bookshops suffer, don't they?
Yeah. And I'm just thinking, actually, perhaps there might be a book which you would enjoy, but because you don't like the author, you don't like the narrator,
yeah.
you don't listen to it.
That's right. Yeah, right. That's another downside. Because these days I just don't seem to make the time to read physical books. I just don't have any sort of slot in my day
yeah.
when I can do that.
Yeah.
But because I'm always in a position where, you know, I'm doing something when I, you know, I yeah. can have something in my ears. I'm yeah. either knitting or I'm doing housework. That's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
If I'm doing housework, which yeah. is the most tedious, boring thing ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I find if I'm listening to an audiobook, it goes much quicker because I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. You know, I'm just muscle memory doing everything.
I think...
And I'm off in another land.
I think what that's a brilliant example of is you hear people talk quite often and they'll say, oh, I wish I had time for reading.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you've shown there is, whilst you don't have the time in the day to
physically books,
pick up a
no,
book, sit down
no.
and read, because that does take a lot of commitment. And it's no yeah. surprise in the modern world that those times aren't, you know, like there.
Mm.
So it just shows you, doesn't it? Because I think one of the most important things, I mean, books for... The best thing about a book is it makes you use your brain, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because it makes
you... And you learn stuff that, you know, the two books that I was referring to by Imogen Martin, I learned such a lot about life in America in the 1800s.
Yeah.
And I find all that fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
So whilst I'm enjoying the story, I'm also learning a lot, and I love that.
Yeah. And that's because if that had been, say, dramatised,
yeah.
there's nowhere near as much time.
No.
Even in a miniseries,
no.
there's not as much time. So you end up having to cut out
yeah,
a lot of that
yeah,
sort of
right.
more nitty-gritty personal stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole sort of brain side of it, I think, is so important, because when we're kids, we can disappear off into a world really easily, can't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, yeah.
You've got that ability to fantasize about stuff.
Yeah.
But when you get older, for some reason, we seem to stop, or lots of us seem to stop using
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And I think reading a book is the business for creating those sort of fantasy worlds.
It is.
Yeah, for me, definitely, it falls into some categories for me, because if I was reading just like a fluffy fiction, which I have done recently, not necessarily recently, but over the last 5 years I have read books like that. I really enjoyed those on digital.
Yeah.
And do you know what? The reason why I enjoy...
We use Kindles, don't we? Yeah.
The reason why I enjoy those on digital is I'm not going to... I've never read a fiction book twice.
Right, yeah.
And so, to me, it
makes sense
on so many levels because... First of all, it's clutter, isn't it?
It's clutter. That's another big thing for me I was going to talk about, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, we can absolutely pick up on that and run with it a bit. I mean, the only books that I really want to own, and it's difficult sometimes because you don't know if it's going to be one of those books, but the types of books I like to own are the types of books I'm going to go back to again and again.
Like reference books. Non-fiction.
Yeah, because houses are only so big, aren't they?
They are, and certainly in this country that's the case. You know, houses are not big, relatively speaking, in this country. And you don't, you know, have a limited amount of space, and I cannot be dealing with clutter all around me.
No.
So for me, listening to books and using a Kindle is brilliant. I do have a selection of actual books that are my, complete favourites.
Yeah.
But I don't read them. If I want to reread a book, which I do often, there's a few that I do reread quite a lot, I will either listen to it or I will read it on my Kindle.
Yeah.
Just because I can't be doing with, like, having rows and rows and rows of books. It drives me crazy because, you know, for one thing, they just gather dust and we both kind of suffer with dust allergies these days. It's another job to do, isn't it? Maintaining them and looking after them and dusting them and all of that.
Yeah.
But also I like space and I like clear, you know, I just don't like clutter.
It's made me think, why have I never reread a fiction book? Now, I have reread actually one fiction book.
Well, in
my 48 years, I've reread one fiction book, and that was because I was reading it to our daughter, Bryony.
And
that was Redwall.
Right, yes.
So I read it the whole series,
she was
actually.
Younger.
Yeah.
Go on.
I was just going to say, why is it? Because you have reread fiction books.
I do reread books.
And you would watch a film again that you enjoyed.
So
why do I not reread?
Fiction books. I don't know. I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Our daughter Bryony, who's 18, only ever reads actual books. You know, she is a staunch believer in a physical book. Yeah. She loves the smell of them. She loves the look of them, the feel of them in her hand.
Yeah.
Everything about real books she loves. So I do understand.
I mean, if we're honest,
people on both sides of it.
If we were honest, right, in a world where you don't have to think about dust allergies, cleaning and space, I think we probably would agree with it.
Yeah, I mean, if we had a house that had like its own little library, I'm sure I would feel differently about it because then you've got a room dedicated to it, haven't you? Like they did back in the day in the big houses. Yeah. And then that's different, isn't it?
Yeah.
But most of us don't have that, so you end up having...
You've got to be realistic.
...crammed full bookshelves in your living room or your bedroom or wherever.
It's sort of lovely, though, that she can just approach it with the...
Yeah, and what Bryony does is she will... She'll read books and she'll keep them, and then when her shelves reach over capacity, she will go through them all and decide which ones she's going to read again and which ones she's not. And the ones that she's not... we donate to the charity shop.
Yeah, I mean...
And that sort of works for her.
It's great that we can do that now, because I know we had some issues
a few years ago.
She
wouldn't part with anything.
The other issue that we had too, though, as well, was actually finding somewhere to take the books.
That's the other big problem.
Clearly, because people just aren't reading as much.
No, and a lot of charity shops these days are at absolute capacity with books. You can't recycle them because of the glue.
Yeah.
So
finding somewhere to take them was difficult, but we have now found somewhere.
We have, thankfully, that will take them as a donation. So.
Now, it's cool actually bringing up the reused books, because a place that we both really love is World of Books, isn't it?
Yeah, World of Books is a great shop. They sell new and but mainly second. They do sell new, but it's mainly second-hand books.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you've bought loads of reference books from there.
They're just amazing.
For like £3, what? Never been opened.
What is just so amazing about it is the type of reading I love, and it's all thanks to our daughter, because like you, I got into that sort of spot where I was struggling to find the point in my day where I could really commit to reading.
Yeah.
And I followed the inspiration of our daughter, who was reading as soon as she woke up.
Yeah.
So I started doing that.
She does.
And then I also managed to find 15 minutes at the end of the day as well.
Yeah.
And it just works like an absolute dream.
Yeah, so Bryony, she reads, she wants to wake up early, even though we've always been early risers, so she's naturally always got up early. But she wants to wake up early. She has half an hour of reading in the morning.
Yeah.
And then these days about sort of 20 minutes-ish of reading before she goes to sleep.
Yeah.
And she always takes the book with her to school as well. So she probably reads for over an hour every day.
Which is just brilliant.
Which is brilliant.
And it was that example.
I know a lot of kids her age never pick up a book.
It was that example that sort of led me to where I'm at now. And over the course of the last 2 or 3 years, with doing it so regularly, I've always been one of those people. Up until this year, I'd always been a monogamous reader.
Yeah.
But this year, I've been able to read 3 books.
Oh, you said, yeah, that's brilliant. I can't do that. I've never done that. I've always been monogamous with my reading.
There's only one way it's feasible for me, and that is I have to make notes.
And
that is another example from Bryony.
Yeah.
Because she's constantly annotating, isn't she?
She does. She did it more last year. She's not annotating quite so much this year. Let's walk around the outside of the birdcage. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like we're in Hollywood and we're walking around a club.
Oh, no.
We're not. This is an actual birdcage.
It's an actual aviary in the park. Oh, hello, parrots.
I'm thinking of the brilliant Robin Williams and Nathan Lane film.
Right.
Called The Birdcage.
Oh, right, okay.
I think Callista Flockett's in it.
Yeah, it's a big aviary and they've got loads of birds, and they've also got some chickens and some ducks.
Yes.
It's really cute and they're very well looked after. There's someone in there now, but every single day there's someone in there cleaning them out, sorting the water, feeding them.
It's like the Brenda Fricker in Home Alone 2. She's the bird woman, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
That's such a brilliant character.
Yeah.
It's just superb. Yeah, yeah. And those are nests, aren't they?
They are nests,
I mean, they're really big.
I don't know what birds they are.
It must be a big bird.
It's literally... Can you imagine if Big Bird jumped out of the tree?
The nests aren't that big, folks.
No.
But yet...
Sort of like...
What I found this year is that by making notes... It stops me forgetting.
Right, yeah.
And one of the things that I used to do when I was a teacher was you would get kids to physically write down certain exercises they were doing.
Yeah.
Even though I'd already got them written down that they were reading off music, by physically writing them down, it imprints it in your head, which is really good. I also think as well is if you make notes on what you've read, those notes are written in the form which your brain will best then remember them. And it just is, it's great.
Yeah.
It's really great.
I have actually spoken to Bryony, just thinking about the Kindle thing.
Yeah.
I have spoken to her recently about when she goes, because she's going off to university in September, and, you know, they have a room, but it's a limited size. And just thinking what she's like with books, I said, do you know what, you might want to try a Kindle. You might find it useful. And she was more open to the idea. So I said, do you know what to do over the summer? Just grab mine, download a book, and just give it a try and see what you think. I'm not saying she's not going to have books in a room, because she will.
The other thing that she could do is Kindle has an app.
Right.
And she could stick that app on her iPad.
Right. You see, I've never done that. Her iPad is big and heavy, though, isn't it?
But she's always got it in her hands.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So my thought just being, what might make it easier for her to incorporate that into her life is if it's physically on a device that already exists that she's using. Yes. There is, though, a huge flaw with digital books as reference books.
Yes.
Because, yes, you can put bookmarks in them.
Yeah.
But then when the book is closed...
Yes.
How do you easily find the bookmark?
I agree. I think for reference purposes, they are limited, aren't they? I think it's more difficult.
I'd go as far as to say useless.
And also, if you have a book, I was thinking about books like Clan of the Cave Web.
Ooh, that's the sequel.
Clan of the Cave Bear, which is one of my absolute favourites. And at the front of that book, there's a map.
Yeah.
And and I remember referencing that a lot through the book. Yeah. I was like, oh, where is she now on her journey? Oh, yeah, she's there.
Yeah.
And that's really difficult to do with a Kindle, I think.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to find where it was. And I don't know, I wouldn't naturally find that very easy to do.
Losing your place as well.
Yeah.
I would regularly, if I was reading on a Kindle, which I used to do, because we changed the way that we used to read. We used to read late at night before we went to sleep. But the problem was we were both so tired. We were like going to sleep in seconds.
And it just wasn't working.
And what I would do is I would inevitably fall asleep. I would then knock the button on my Kindle.
Let's just go this way.
And I would end up like skipping forward like 5 pages.
And
I hadn't realised.
Yeah.
So then I would come to pick the book up the next day.
Somebody down there. It makes no odds, doesn't it?
I would come to pick the book up the next day. And I'd be like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Because I'd skipped 5 pages by accident. At least with a real book, you can very easily sort of...
I think you do get more of a sense of where you are with a real book, don't you, as well? And I think it's hard with a Kindle as well to really tell how far through the book you are.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you have a percentage at the bottom, don't you? Or you have a page number. Or I think you
that
can...
That doesn't work.
No, but it's the percentage through the book, isn't it, that's on mine. But I know you can take that off completely, I think.
Yeah.
So it doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't know where you are at all.
Yeah.
Which some people might like.
Yeah.
But I kind of always want to know roughly where I am in the book.
Because then you can prepare yourself for getting near the end.
Yeah, you know, with an audio book, every time I go on to listen to it,
yeah,
it tells me how many hours are remaining.
Yeah.
So I know, you know, I'll know I'm like, oh, in 3 days I'm going to have to find a new book.
Yeah.
And start getting a bit jittery.
Yeah.
So what's going on over there?
Well, what's interesting
is... That's a massive crane.
That's called a skyjack.
Outside a normal 3-bed semi.
Now, let me tell you, right? I saw this...
Is that the...
...moving along the road. The guy was in the cage thingy.
Uh-huh.
And it's physically coming down the road.
Oh.
He's driving it from the cage that he's in.
What are they doing? That's the Christmas house, isn't it? The Christmas house.
Oh, we sound like... So we've been past the birdcage.
If you saw this house, everyone, it's really not glamorous.
Yeah, especially...
But they decorate it like it's...
Well, we'll have a lot of listeners in America and Canada. And let me tell you, this house is not a patch on your amazing... But this is as good as it gets in this country. But
so
yeah,
it's a massive crane... Over. What are they doing? They're painting the house. Oh my word, you're kidding me.
Can I tell you, that is the
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen for painting a house.
Because all you do is just get the extendable ones. You can get an extendable one from
B&Q. I'm not kidding, everybody. That crane, you could get up the side of a massive building.
Yeah, you really could.
It's enormous.
It is.
We were thinking, oh, this is going to be something exciting.
Yeah, it's not at all.
It's just there's a man in the little bucket thing.
Yes.
And he's got a roller and he's painting the house. That must be costing a fortune.
I don't think it's costing them anything. I think that the person who lives there...
Oh, is it a council house? No, that's not a council house.
No, but I bet you the person who lives there is involved in construction in some way.
He's got his mate.
Yes.
Is that up for a laugh? Bring the biggest crane you can find.
I'm not even convinced it was for
a
laugh.
And I'm going to go in and paint my house.
I think he thinks it's the right thing to do.
That's the most unnecessary thing ever seen for doing a job
that
to
is,
your house.
The perfect metaphor, Kate, is that is a sledgehammer to crack
a nut.
A peanut. No, a pistachio nut.
Yeah. Well, that was excitement on our walk.
I think my biggest concern, and I don't believe it is a concern anymore, because I think that... it's doing better than it was. I feel like it is anyway. With the sort of advent of things like Harry Potter and kids really wanting to read those books. There was a concern definitely a few years ago. I mean, it may be that I'm just being swayed by the fact that our daughter is so into books.
Yeah.
But I also think that so many movies and TV shows are adapted from books.
Yes.
That means that as an industry, it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
But it is a concern that people don't... I think for human beings' own well-being, I think it's a concern that more people don't read as much as they used to.
I agree. I don't think of anything you could do that's more beneficial than picking
up a book.
It's huge.
The big problem is...
It's because kids these days are too busy on whatever things they go on. I don't know.
It's
all
adults
all
too,
of these.
Though.
Well, it is,
it's
I know.
Adults too. You know, hard day at work.
All of this social media nonsense. Yeah.
I just want to turn on the telly get a glass of wine and just like relax. I don't want to, you know, waste my time reading a book. The thing is, though, like you've just said, it is like transformative for your brain.
It really
is. It makes me feel so much better when I'm like in the zone with you know, a good few books.
Yeah. You do better than putting the telly on. You do better to put on like a fire on your TV if you don't have a real fire.
Yes.
Putting some classical music on and picking up a book.
Yeah, Pride and Prejudice.
You're going to do much better for your brain than just sticking on the nonsense that's on the TV these days.
I mean, crumbs. Unbelievably kind. Just came up to a junction and
somebody let us cross the road. I always get stressed when people wave you across there.
I do too.
Because I'm worried that they're not talking to me, they're like, I don't know.
Well, my fear when I'm out running is that whilst that person might be waving me on, the person behind is going to go round him and is going to barrel straight into me.
Has no
idea that I'm doing that.
Yeah.
I would say, and I'm thrilled about this, that books have become more of a part of my life as I got older than less.
Yeah, I've always read, you know, as a teenager. I would go to the... Hang on a minute. Oh, we've got a... Standoff in the tunnel.
So, summing up the whole books thing for me, absolutely all the way in on good quality history reference books.
Yeah.
I adore them, and you buy them for me regularly.
I do.
You bought me a really cool one that I'm desperate to read called Alexandria, a history of... Literally Alexandria, and that just looks absolutely amazing. Fiction... I'm not saying I won't, because I did enjoy going through that period of time where I read tons and tons.
You did read loads of fiction, yeah.
Absolutely, and I tell you what you find.
You always used to read, like, Connie Golden a lot and...
Yes.
Somebody else, I forget.
Simon Scarrow.
Yes.
Simon Scarrow was a little bit more simple. Connie Golden's a bit more in-depth.
Yeah, yeah.
But I just found that Connie Golden became... He lost it for me. He wrote a great series on Rome, a really good series on Genghis Khan,
right?
But then he lost it a bit, so it became not so good. But I think that reading those is what sort of filtered me back into, because it was after reading those Connie Golden books that I was I want to read about Rome, about actual Rome.
Yeah.
But history books from World of Books, ideally, if I can. When it comes to fiction, always on a Kindle.
Yes.
With you, what's the sort of key to success? Audiobooks, I suppose.
Audiobooks for me, if I wasn't listening to audiobooks, I'd really struggle to have the time during the day to read a physical book. So,
because I know when you've tried at night, you've got tired and fallen asleep.
Yeah, I do. I'm too tired at night time when I get in bed these days to read a book. I'm far too tired.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, I must just tell you the book that I'm listening to right now, because. Yeah. I'm really enjoying it, and it took me a little bit to get into it.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the author, but the book is called One for the Blackbird, One for the Crow.
Right.
I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
And it's set in the 1800s again in America, in Wyoming, I believe this is. And it's the story of these two neighbouring farms, and I won't tell you what happens, but... it's just beautifully written.
Yeah.
The description of things is just mesmerising.
Yeah.
The opening chapter is just about this woman who's going out to the barn, and there's this blackberry bush by the side of the barn, and the way it describes the smell of the blackberries,
yeah,
and the look and what she's thinking of doing with those blackberries, and it's just beautifully, beautifully written.
Yeah.
And there's a young girl in it called Beulah. She's 13.
Yeah.
I love this girl. She's a bit strange, and I'm not quite sure. You know, she's like a sort of animal whisperer, and she's got an innate sense of people's well-being,
right,
and things around her and nature.
Right, yeah.
She's such an intriguing character. I love her. But I'm just finding it really beautiful to listen to, and the descriptions of everything. Yeah. I really feel like I'm there on the plains in Wyoming.
It's brilliant.
It's lovely.
Yeah, that's really good.
But that's the one I've had to speed up a little bit.
I think that's why I love really good history books so
yeah.
much, because when you get a really good history book, it transports you to that time.
Yes.
And a good combination, actually, of approaching history definitely was, and it was, you know, you referencing the fact that I used to read Con Eagledon.
Yeah.
Historical fiction is just superb for that.
It is, yeah.
You know, it can, like it has done for you.
Yes,
it sucked
absolutely.
You in to that period of American history, but also as well, you got very into World War II and that period of time just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, and
again,
I read,
that was through reading.
It was. I read a few.
Which is exceptional.
Just, you know, sort of romantic fiction books, but they were set in the war, so you got to learn a lot about the way normal people just lived during the war.
Yeah.
And I just, I got drawn into that and really interested in finding out loads.
So, we love books.
We do.
The children love the books. And they'll all, I mean, I look forward to actually them becoming, as we get older, and, you know, I don't want to talk about.
What are you trying to say? Getting to that stage of life where.
I just look forward to just spending a lovely morning or a lovely afternoon, you know, maybe sat in the garden when we've got a nice garden.
Yeah.
You know, get out a book.
Yeah.
And sit and read together. And, you know, things like that, just for me, that is the ultimate in just loveliness, relaxation, and. And I think as well, what always just I love about you is you really enjoy learning about new things.
I do.
But it's got to be packaged in the right way for anybody.
Yes,
for anybody it
absolutely.
Does.
Absolutely.
And it, you know, it's when you find that right package, and inevitably it does tend to be in books because they get a bit more deeply into the story. It's just the business. Look, that's the end of another radio show.
Indeed. Go off and read a book, everyone.
Do it, do it. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in 2 weeks with more.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
The Bakery Bears radio show is brought to you by Bakery Bear Productions and is made possible by our Bakery Bear patrons. Find out how you can join our Bakery Bear community, access more of what we do, and keep the show on air by visiting www.bakerybears.com/listen/.